I just have to repeat Jesus' own words from today's Holy Gospel. Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 29. It's all about faith. Today we find the apostles once again hiding in the upper room from the temple leadership out of fear. These are really not the same apostles who followed Jesus around for 3 years. They are most certainly not who they would become on the glorious day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit would embolden and empower them beyond even their wildest dreams. The gospel tells us that the doors to the upper room were shut for fear of the Jews. That means it was locked. The apostles who had run the other way from Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was arrested were still hiding, and they were still terrified, in spite of the fact that they knew that Jesus had risen from the dead. And it would not be until the Holy Spirit was given to them that they would boldly begin to profess the faith, no matter what the situation or the threats that would be facing them. And that would not be for another 40 days. All over the world today, there are Christians who are gathering to worship the risen Jesus, just like us, and studying the living Word of God, just like us, along with other believers. Sadly, some of them have had to gather in secret. They don't have a place like this that is right out in the midst of town, that is a little white church with a red door right next to First Baptist. Everybody knows it. They used to say, oh, that's the church with the rusting roof. No longer. Or with the peeling windows. No longer. We're proud of this church because God has given it to us. There are people that have to hide to worship Jesus because where they live, it is not a freedom that they can be able to enjoy. People like you and me are being jailed, tortured, beheaded, and far worse, simply because they love and belong to Jesus, and they believe in him with all their hearts. We all need to be intentionally praying for the persecuted Christians, not only around the world, but also in this country. Praying for them and to celebrate the courage and strength that the Lord Jesus has given them throughout this ordeal. Today's gospel reading takes place just 2 weeks since the crucifixion of Jesus. Those who were persecuted were so sure of their faith in Jesus, or they would not be willing to stand up for him. The apostles were overjoyed that they had seen the risen Lord, but so much that they were not about to be leaving the protection of that sealed upper room. That was their stronghold. That was their safety net. Thomas was jealous that he had not been there the week before when Jesus visited the others. Can you just imagine what it must have been like and what was going through Thomas's head? Thomas asked for absolute proof, and he was labeled, therefore, as doubting Thomas. I want you to hear these words. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. If you remember, last week on Easter Sunday, I spoke with the youngsters in a special children's sermon about peace, or better said, shalom. The disciples apparently did not hear what Jesus had said the first time, and they didn't fully receive his shalom in his initial greeting, because they didn't rejoice until after he proved who he was. It could have been because the door was locked and Jesus suddenly appeared inside. They might have been stunned or afraid until Jesus showed them his wounds. When they recognized him in that locked upper room, their joy became so great that it could not be contained. They had received the joy that Jesus had promised them in John 16:22, when he told them he was speaking of his impending death, and he said, I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In coming to the upper room, Jesus commissioned his apostles, and they received their call to ministry. Jesus said, peace, shalom, be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. If you remember what I told the kids, all those things that shalom, peace meant, other than just peace, how it was completeness, contentment, and so many things. And they received the power to forgive sins. If you remember, the members of the Sanhedrin who had followed Jesus said, he's forgiving sins. Nobody but God can forgive sins. Hello? Or one that God gives that power to. And he gave that power to the apostles and to all of the priests that come thereafter an ordination. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Not only had the disciples seen Jesus, received their call to ministry and the power to forgive sins, but they also received new life in the Holy Spirit. But not enough. It was just like they got a little bit and would get so much more on the day of Pentecost. Jesus breathed upon them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I've said many, many times that the word for breath is ruach in Hebrew. The word for spirit is ruach. So he breathed upon them and gave them the Holy Spirit. They must have been ecstatic, beyond belief. But one of them wasn't there, and that was Thomas. And Thomas comes back through that locked door and is met at the door by his brothers. We've seen the Lord, they said. They go on. He was here and he gave us the Holy Spirit and the power to forgive sins. Can you just imagine Thomas like, oh, where does that leave me? Am I missing out on something? Wow. Following week, Jesus came back through that same locked door and said, peace be with you. Shalom. And Thomas is there this time. And what does Jesus do? He goes right to Thomas. He didn't ignore the others, but he went right to Thomas and directly addresses him. Knowing what was on Thomas's mind, he said, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Don't doubt, but believe. And Thomas doesn't even have to touch Jesus. He'd seen enough. What does he do? Something that no one on earth had ever done to this point. He said, my Lord and my God. Wow. Wow. We're blessed to get this eyewitness account from John of what took place in that upper room. Thomas proclaims Jesus as my Lord and my God. Jesus then speaks of others and their faith. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet come to believe. And he's talking to each one of us and about each one of us. Blessed are we. Blessed are we who believe, even though we have not seen. And Jesus knows all those who come to faith in his name. None of us have had the opportunity to see Jesus as he walked on the earth 2,000 years ago. And yet here our Lord Jesus calls us blessed. We believe in the one who died for us. We have faith in Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, whose resurrection we celebrated last Sunday, Easter Sunday, and every Sunday. We believe that we will one day share in the joy of his resurrection when we meet Jesus face to face. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to say my Lord and my God. When we read and meditate on the complete story of God's hand in the salvation history of humanity, found in all of God's written word, the Holy Scriptures, we can be in his presence when we worship and come together with other believers, just as we're doing today. We can see him knowing that when we repent, we are truly forgiven, without a doubt, because of Jesus' dying in our place. We can see him when we receive the body and blood of Jesus in just a few minutes in the Holy Eucharist in complete and total freedom, unlike other people in places around the world. We can show him to others by sharing who Jesus Christ is in your life. You don't have to have a roly Bible in your hand and stand on the street corner screaming, "Jesus is coming, the end is near." All you have to do is tell them about Jesus in your life and how he has transformed you into the person that they see today. I want you to hear the words of another eyewitness that was present both of those days. His name is Peter, and he wrote in his first epistle, his first letter, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, and this sounds awful familiar. "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls." Pretty neat words for a fisherman, huh? Wow. You see, today's gospel message is all about believing in the resurrected Jesus and sharing his love with others. John reminds us in his words given at the end of today's gospel message, "so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. My Lord and my God. Amen and Alleluia."